And of course, that would be a big difference compared to trastuzumab. And along those lines, I'm curious, again, coming from the perspective of breast cancer and the huge adjuvant clinical trial database we have, what your thoughts are about what's happened over the last few years in terms of the adjuvant clinical trial data in lung cancer.
I think we have definitive data now in lung cancer, and these patients should be offered chemotherapy, at least should be offered the regimen that has been shown in peer review publication to offer a survival advantage of the same or greater magnitude than a lot of our breast studies.
One of the things, again, it's interesting coming out of your background in breast cancer, it's interesting to see the lung cancer people sort of try to sort through, because of course they have so much less data to work with than in breast cancer, is the question of whether the relative risk reduction model is going to apply to lung cancer. And, you know, Peter Ravdin is now trying to decide whether or not he can even put together a model for lung cancer. Do you think that general concept is going to apply in lung cancer?
I think it's worth looking at because, you know, you're alluding to adjuvant online. Adjuvant online is now there as well for colorectal cancer. And lung is just going to have to factor in the comorbidities. It's going to be less data for them to work with, of course, because there aren't as many trials, but there are first and second generation adjuvant trials, and then there are the third generation regimens. It would be helpful, you know, just like you're able to do in breast, to look at what your absolute differences are going to be actually for disease-free survival and overall survival based on the predicted lifespan for the patient, and that's what that model could do for you.
I think the other thing about that, and again, I know we don't have the data, but just kind of looking forward into the future, is whether or not that risk reduction is going to drive down into the lower risk categories that haven't even been studied, like the 1A.
Well, exactly, and I just had a patient, young woman, non-smoker, with her second primary 1A cancer.
Wow.
And we discussed this in great detail. She's intelligent enough to handle the discussion, and we elected to go ahead and do it in her case, even though the trial data is not there, based upon at least the, I will say, older paradigm in breast, that your relative reduction in risk is the same across your various nodal categories and risk level. Now, we know that's not the case, at least if you look at the recent results from the NSABP, that the patients whose node-negative receptor-positive tumors had a bad biologic profile using Oncotype DX are the ones that had the greatest chemotherapy benefit, whereas the ones at the lower risk profile, even though they may have a T2 tumor or whatever you name, but if their biologic profile is low risk, then in fact they did not have the benefit. So that just, you know, shot our whole paradigm down that we'd been using for years based on the overview.
Right.
So in lung cancer now, we're not quite there yet, but I imagine that it's going to be similar, that you're going to come up with a biologic profile of who would benefit from chemo versus who not. But until you get that, I think, you know, going 1B and above is reasonable.
So that's interesting. What chemo regimen did you use with this woman?
This particular woman chose, I presented both. I presented the NCI Canada cisplatin vinorelbine approach, and I presented the CLGB paclitaxel carboplatin approach. And with all of the caveats and disclaimers, none of these trial data exactly fit her situation. She chose the short four cycles of carboplatin paclitaxel.
As long as you were delving into areas where there's not clear data, did you bring up the possibility of a TKI?
Not in the adjuvant setting. That's going a bit too far for someone like her. But if she got a third primary, I might think about it. I sure hope she doesn't. Unfortunately, our adjuvant erlotinib trial was closed prematurely, and thus we're not going to have that answer until we retool and reopen a study once we learn better predictive factors for erlotinib benefit.